Pisces, I'm in the mood for love. Written by Jinx, read by Mistborn Hero. This is a Lockwood & Co. TV podfic featuring the relationship Lucy Carlyle and Anthony Lockwood and rated for teen and up audiences. Additional characters include George Karim and Quill Kipps. It is tagged for mutual pining, George the matchmaker, Lockwood in George's point of view. He is fed up, jealousy, getting together. They are obtuse, but George is here to fix that. George finds it hilarious that both Lucy and Lockwood think they are any sort of subtle, when in fact, they are utterly predictable. As George is an academic, he found it imperative that he should record his findings in a structured manner. Over a number of observations, he was able to identify a pattern in the behavior of his two colleagues. It usually goes like this. 1. Lockwood ogles Lucy. 2. Lucy ogles Lockwood. 3. Lockwood notices and attempts to hide his giddiness. 4. Lucy notices Lockwood and his badly hidden grin and ogles him once more. On second thought, ogle seems to be one-dimensional of a term for their weird, furtive glances. Perhaps desperate looks of yearning would more properly suit it. He has already called Lockwood out on it. He definitely more than likes the way she looks at him, but since then, it seems that nothing has happened, besides the fact that these looks are happening much more frequently now. It has come to the point where George can't even have his breakfast in peace. Lockwood and Lucy still peek at each other over the toast that Lockwood has buttered for them both. George knows this is different for Lockwood. He's seen the way he looks over having a potential big case on their hands, over media exposure, over winning, and none of them even come remotely close to the way he looks at Lucy. Note to self, George should really teach him better things to call the girl he fancies than an asset. Safe to say, it didn't take much deduction from George to conclude that they were probably madly in love with each other, or at least getting there, and he's decided to take matters into his own hands. His methodology is as follows. Step 1. Drop hints. The blind fools need it. Back to the aforementioned breakfast scene, George decides it is time for himself to be purposely obtuse. The three of them are sat in the dining table. Lucy has her head in a book. George is nursing a cup of tea, and Lockwood is buttering his and Lucy's pieces of toast. Lockwood? He asks, full innocence dripping from his voice. Could you butter my toast as well?
What?
George can tell that Lockwood is not excited about where this conversation is heading. Well, you always butter Lucy's toasts, so I was wondering if you would do mine as well. George explains, leaning back into his chair. He is resisting the urge to break out a smile. Unless she's a special case? George turns to Lucy, who has been reading the same page for the last 5 minutes. Do you have something that makes you incapable of buttering your own toast?
I don't.
She's flustered and has turned into a deep red. Lockwood's face is now an identical shade. Then why would he butter your toast then? George plays dumb. Is this some sort of agreement that I'm being left out of? Again? They both scramble at explanations when George begins to laugh. I'm only joking. I know he does it because he likes taking care of you, Luz. At least, more than he does with me. Lockwood lets out a strangled cough, while Lucy looks down at the ground, desperately trying to get the conversation to fizzle out. They do the desperate looks of yearning pattern once more, and now satisfied with his work, George turns and exits the kitchen with his plate of still unbuttered toast. For the record, he hears Lockwood speak out as he leaves. He's right. I don't need to be taken care of, Lockwood. I know, even so. Step 2. Utilize jealousy. A dangerous weapon, but a useful one, nonetheless. George runs into Kipps at the shop while picking up some boxes of biscuits. They greet each other with tentative nods, still unsure about the new civility they've decided to engage in since the bone glass case. Hello, George offers. Heard about your team's new client through the grapevine, by the way. Congratulations, it seems like a pretty big deal. Kipps's team had secured a deal with some rich corporation that was trying to repurpose a lot of abandoned warehouses. It would definitely pay a lot. George knew that Kipps's power was fading, but he was still a pretty brilliant agent nonetheless, even if Lockwood would never admit it. Thank you, Kipps replied, voice a bit tight. I also wanted to thank you as well for, keeping quiet about my situation. I appreciate it. No problem. George gives him a small smile. I was actually wondering, though, if you could do something for me. Kipps looks a little perplexed at his request, but lets him continue anyways. I believe Lockwood mentioned to me a while back that you had given Lucy a job offer and asked her out to a little coffee, if I'm not mistaken. George can tell from the way Kipps reacts that he's slightly embarrassed, but he gives him an affirmative nod. This is going to be some perfect ammunition. Well, you see, I'm just going to pull a little prank on them, and I might mention you, so it would be really lovely if you could just play along if Lockwood comes for you. Comes for me? Kipps asks, brows furrowed together in comical confusion. Is the prank putting me at risk of being attacked by Lockwood? I do not intend on getting injured at the hands of that. The chances of it happening are highly unlikely, George pipes up. But not zero. He can see Kipps sigh, and he thinks he's messed his plan all up, but he surprises him. Sure, I'll do it. A little while later, George and Lockwood are doing some routine sharpening of their collection of rapiers when he decides to get his plan rolling into action. So Kipps at the shop today, he starts, and he can almost feel Lockwood about to roll his eyes at the mention of his rival. You'll never guess what he told me. He's gotten his interest piqued now. Lockwood tries to look nonchalant, but George knows better. Is this about a case? Their new big one? No, it's about Lucy. The air shifts. There is a palpable sense of... What was that? Jealousy? What about her? Lockwood's voice is clipped, and he looks like he is about to snap. Oh, he sort of mentioned that he might ask her out to coffee again, George says, flippant. Or dinner, or something. Lockwood steals for a moment from the sharpening of the blade in his hands. There is a silence that hangs over them, and even George is slightly scared about what Lockwood might do next. He anticipates some sort of outburst or envious beverage, maybe telling him while in the presence of some very, truly dangerous weapons was a mistake. However, Lockwood returns silently to his work. Only he swipes his blade across the sharpening rod much more aggressively. They are packing away the rapiers when Lockwood finally speaks. She wouldn't accept, you think? Who knows? She might be searching for a boyfriend. Might be worth asking her. George eavesdrops under mini confrontation later when they are both sitting by the couches and think he is having a bath. George says Kipps was going to maybe ask you out again. Please, like I'd even consider it. Are you completely serious about that? I've heard loads of girls calling him attractive and whatnot. And, I mean, it is completely reasonable if you do as well, even if he is a slimy git and... Lockwood, I'm serious. He is the last person I'd probably date, and he's not my type anyway.
Your type?
I like people with brown eyes. And preferably not in a fit skit.
I see.
And you?
Girls with short hair. Stubborn ones.
Stage 3. Forced proximity. A catalyst that speeds up the rate of reaction. Getting them locked together in a room was not that difficult to do. What was, however, was dealing with their howls and pounding as they told him off for doing it. "Let us out!" Lucy shrieked, voice traveling beyond the barrier of his wooden door. He had called them in using a shocking, earth-shaking, mind-blowing discovery he had made about the problem, only to bolt out of his room and lock it from the outside. And now, here he was, cowering by the staircase as his door shook like it was smack in the middle of an earthquake. He took a quick look at the hinges of his door and sent a silent prayer that they would remain attached.
"I swear, George Karim, you are going to lose a month's worth of biscuit privileges if you do not let us out," came Lockwood's voice.
"I'm not letting you out until you sort out whatever is going on between you two," he shouts back. "Nothing's going on," Lucy exclaimed. "Absolutely nothing. He hasn't been a prick to me recently. We are good. We are completely fine."
"Not that loose."
George sighs in frustration. "I mean that you two clearly fancy each other." The banging stops and the other side of the door goes quiet. "Don't even try to pretend like you don't, by the way," he shouts. "I'll be back in an hour or two. I'm heading to the archives." Step 4. Bask in your success. And see things you definitely didn't want to. True to his word, he comes back after a long 2 hours and unlocks his door, fully prepared to be tackled and choked to an untimely demise by his still-fuming friends. Instead, he finds them curled up together on his bed, Lucy snoring softly with Lockwood's arms around her. He nearly coos at the sight and thinks of maybe grabbing his Polaroid camera to snap his memory, until he sees faint blooms of grayish-purple coloring parts of both their necks. Gross. At least he knows his experiment was triumphant. The end. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this story, please consider leaving feedback for the author, Jinx, J-H-Y-X-N, or if you've enjoyed my narration, please consider leaving feedback to me, the Podfeeder Mistborn Hero. And if you are an author and enjoy listening to Podfix or Podfix in general, consider writing a blanket permission for your profile. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to drink some water today.